put it. The fact is, she did a great job with the time constraint that she had. Had the president gotten out sooner, there may have been other candidates in the race. Kamala, I think, still would have won, but she may have been stronger having taken her case to the public sooner.
Oh my gosh, I totally told you so. I mean, I don't want to be a brat about it, but what did I say? They're going to start saying, well, you know, it was Biden that just, you know, he just didn't really get out soon enough. And they're still in the cope and seethe portion, I think, of all of this. I mean, that's kind of what it seems like. They have no plan. They have no idea what they're going to do with their party. And I'm, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm actually here for that. Because I felt like all they did was, you know, screwing us over for the past, oh, I don't know, like however many years. So this, they don't get it. And I got to tell you, I have been, you know, reading their op-eds, help me. I've been reading their op-eds. I've been watching their television analysis and all this stuff. And they still, for the love, how do they still not get it? They don't know why they lost. And I got to tell you, I feel like because they don't know why they lost, they're never going to win again. I'm actually okay with that. Welcome back to the program. Welcome to the program. It's Monday. And always happy to be with you. So, all right. I got to tell you, again, welcome. You can listen to us across the country. You can stream the radio program. We're on channel 347 DirecTV. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook. Find us on Rumble where the chat happens. Chat's always at Rumble. A lot of stuff to hit because there's a lot of movement. Democrats are still in free fall. And coming up, we're going to talk about the matchup that they've been talking about, which I kid you not, it's not the penguin. I literally, that was an actual verbal typo. J.B. Pritzker versus Newsom. I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm all here for it. So we're going to get into all of that. But we're also going to talk about the moves that are being made on the right, because now we got to get the cabinet together. And by we, I mean POTUS elect has got to get the cabinet together. That's the problem. We have like a lot of really good choices on our side. Apparently, none of them are being considered for Senate leadership, though. I know y'all were watching for that. So let's just go right ahead into it. So that's the big fight right now, is the Senate leadership fight. I have made no mistake about where I stand. I'm just going to come out with it. I think every choice is something I can't say on air because I'll have to call Brennan Carr and use my get out of jail free card. It's all excrement. They're all excrement. And I want to be really clear before we begin this whole entire program. I don't want to engage in one of those Twitter exercises where like the Twitter wars or the X war. I guess you could say X now instead of, you know, Twitter. I get so tired of some of the arguments or some of the responses that I get because I'll have, you know, I don't like any of the three, or I don't like the leadership choices proposed. And so like it'll be like the meme where it goes, someone can say, I like pancakes. And someone will say, so you hate waffles. No, bitch, that's a whole new sentence. What are you talking about? That's exactly where we are at right now. So let me be real clear. I don't like any of the three choices because there are people who apparently are not reading any of the millions of words that I've written about it, the videos that I made over the weekend, or any of the time that I've ever talked about any of these cats on this radio program. I don't like all three. I'll do it in pig Latin. I don't like all, I don't know how to do that one, rethre. Don't like them. And I reject this this argument that we have to go with what the establishment gives you. I mean, why don't we go ahead up and hold up our little bowl? Oh, can I please, establishment, have some more gruel? That's literally what we're doing. That's the argument that we're making there. I hate that. So this is what's up. While we were all doing what we had to do last week and then taking a little bit of an exhale towards the end of the week, Senate establishment moved against you. And they hand-selected three people. And that's exactly how it works, by the way. I've done this for 20 years. This is exactly how it works. I know all of these people involved. I know their staffs. I know all of it. So they hand select their three, and they're trying to force your choice. So they pick two people whose records are really well known and one person who apparently his record isn't as well known, because there are people that are actually excited about this one. And I'm looking at it, and it's amazing to me that anyone could be excited about any of these choices. So you have John Cornyn, who's been on the show before, and he and I have argued six ways to Sunday about red flag law. We've argued about universal background check, assault weapons ban, because remember, he was proposing this gun bill. It was that bipartisan, safer communities, that whole bill. He worked with Democrats to pass gun control. So we've argued. John Thune he seems like a nice guy, but that's not what I look at. He's a squish. Look at his record. His record as to liberty, you would be on academic probation with a rating like that as a grade. Right? So you've got John Cornyn, who's a gun control guy, and who also worked with amnesty. And yes, if you are compromising any part of securing the border, that's amnesty. We're not going to do this whole, well, they're only a little pregnant. You're either for the border or you're not. Just like you're either for the Second Amendment or you're not. You're not a little pregnant. You're not a little for the Second Amendment. You're for it or you're not. You're for the Fourth Amendment or you're not. You're for the Fifth Amendment or you're not. You're for due process or you're not. There's none of this halfway nonsense. So that brings us to Rick Scott. What do you want to know about Rick Scott that I haven't already told you? After Parkland, which I remember well, because I was at the town hall on stage arguing with Jake Tapper and CNN and bad cop Scott Israel. I was there watching as some of the people in the Senate, Republicans, were getting ready to sign our rights away so that they could satisfy the screams for do something that mostly came from activists. I watched Marco Rubio collapse rhetorically on stage in front of me 5 minutes before I had to walk out. He gave the crowd everything, and then I had to go out and take it all away. So I remember. And I remember Rick Scott, as governor of Florida, signed a comprehensive gun control bill into effect that raised the minimum age of purchase, instituted a waiting period, and destroyed your due process. Why is that bad? Let me start from the beginning. We're going to go in the weeds a little bit because you need to. I know you're tired. You just had an election last week. You can hang on till Thanksgiving because we got to. The future of the country depends on it. You think that this is a huge thing because it's who controls the calendar. A lot of people think that red flag is about guns. It's not. Guns is the first variable that they're going after. And I'll dive into this more coming up. But it's about due process. It's about obliterating not just the Second Amendment, but the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. Red flag law, or what Rick Scott passed, was the destruction of due process. Do you enjoy, if you are accused, do you enjoy the presumption of innocence in a court of law? So that the people accusing you, the petitioner, has to prove that you're guilty. Do you enjoy that? Do you think that Alvin Bragg, when he concocted this papier-mâché of BS in New York to elevate an expired misdemeanor to go after a POTUS elect and try to elevate it to a felony, did you think that that was ridiculous? Do you think it's ridiculous to jail grannies for things like unlawful parading because they happened to fart past the Capitol on J6? Do you find some of that? We're not talking about the people who rioted and broke stuff. We're talking about the people who just happened to be there. They thought, why are people going in? What's happening here? They had no idea what was going on. They weren't out there to cause any problems. So if you had a problem with all those things, why the hell would you get a guy who signed it into law on steroids in Florida? Because that's exactly what it is. So you don't enjoy the presumption of innocence. You're not even told in most cases. It's an ex parte process, meaning you have no idea someone's bringing a complaint against you. You are visited upon by law enforcement. They take your stuff. You are rendered the penalty. You get to go through the indignity of being accused and treated and convicted like a felon. And then half a month later, and that's on if they're actually on time, then you get to go in a court of law and make your case before a judge. Pay it yourself. You pay your court costs and pay your attorney's fees. You got to pay all that. Then you can go to court and you can plead your case and try to prove yourself innocent. That's what Rick Scott signed. That is disqualifying. We gave the Republican Party a mandate on Tuesday. It wasn't an invitation to bend us over a damn barrel. We went to war for less than this back during the days of the revolution. Why in the hell are we considering installing it as the leader of the Senate? And for the people who think, the peach fuzz out there who think that politics began the day that they dropped out of their mama's womb, let me tell you something. This is bad. It's literally the swamp personified. Stop kissing his ass because you want to be power adjacent. I get it that a lot of people were paid to prostitute Prop 3. I don't doubt that some of them are being paid for this too. Welcome to the new reality. But no one gets to gamble your rights away. We're in a brave new world right now, folks. And the last thing that we want to be doing is elevating and rewarding people who have stomped all over your natural rights, your due process. And like I said, firearms are a variable. By the way, this is yet to come. I haven't even touched on his amnesty. But see, what Rick Scott has done lately is engage in a PR offensive of kissing Trump's ass and hoping that no one looks back at his record so he has a hedge of protection. None of the three choices, again, for the people in the back, none of the three, 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 none of the three choices are acceptable. Do not take what the establishment gives you, because you think you can't ask for more. Mike Johnson wasn't even on the list. Not that he's better, but he wasn't even on the list originally for Speaker of the House. Why in the hell are we going to sit here and go, okay, establishment, we'll listen to what you say. Isn't that how we got in this position? So coming up, we're going to talk about conference chair. I do like Tom Homan on the border. He's been, oh, yeah. So there's some good news coming out of this. Of course, the establishment wasn't behind that one. So we're going to talk about Trump proposing national reciprocity, which will get killed with a Rick Scott or Cornyn or any of these dudes. Definitely a Scott. It's all going to get nixed if they're a Senate leader. We're going to talk about all of that. We're also going to get into, remember what they hid. Joe Biden couldn't walk in the sand over the weekend. I think it's gotten worse. I don't know if you've seen the video, but I think it's gotten worse. We're going to talk to Eric Schmidt because Chuck Schumer won't allow Dave McCormick into the clubhouse. Oh, we got to talk to him about all of that and a heck of a lot more. We got a lot to hit today. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. relieffactor.com.
Did you know 8 out of the last 11 created jobs never really existed? Over the course of the past year, the Labor Department has revised the jobs report by over a million jobs. In case you forgot, the Federal Reserve was using this info when making their policy decisions.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So progressives, they're really mad. They're eating their own. They've been demanding that Sonia Sotomayor leave the Supreme Court. Teehee. I feel like Cartman right now. Teehee. They've been demanding that the 70-year-old Obama appointee retire because they do not want Trump filling her seat. I just get the sense that she's not going to do that. Like how Ruth Bader Ginsburg was out of spite. She hung on till her very last second. Actually even past that. So just saying. Americans are feeling anxious, so they are doing something that is called doom spending. This is not a new thing. Like some people, they do that as like a soothing technique. But they said that when some people, when they feel anxious, they go shopping. and that's what they do. And they impulse buy. I mean, you know, I'm just going to say, being in Costco when they got the Christmas stuff out, it's like the worst place to go when you're like feeling like that. Doom spending. Gen Z and millennials, you know what? They're the ones who do the whole treat yourself thing. That they said that it's more concentrated in that generation, particularly younger millennials, than anybody else. This is according to a survey conducted by Harris back in June. So, yeah, doom. But everybody's broke. You're not going to be able to doom spin much longer. So, transplanting brain cells. This could be the revolutionary treatment to cure neurological disorders. It's that's kind of interesting. There are a lot of these neurological diseases start in the loss of cells in the nervous system. So one of these, I'm not even going to say it. The motor neurons, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. I think I literally got that one. That sounds legit. That tracks. Yeah, I am a doctor now. I'm officially a doctor. Anyway, they look at these neurons in Parkinson's and et cetera. And so they think that they're onto something here. So that's good news indeed. The Auburn men's basketball team flight was diverted because the players got into a fight. Apparently, this is according to WBRC. They said that a plane carrying the Auburn team had to be diverted because they got into a fight. The pilot requested emergency landing in Montgomery, Alabama. And they said that when they were asked what the level of threat was, the pilot said on radio, quote, "We have a bunch of basketball players fighting." The scuffle was over before it got serious, but they ended up diverting back to Auburn. So they were still expected to travel later, but goodness, that was... Oof. And let's see, a neutron star discovery in space. Deep space. And there, it weighs a billion tons. And it's the remnants of an exploded star. We have a lot more on the way. The fight, who should be the Senate leader, and a lot more. Stick with us. We couldn't do it without partners like the non-firearm, Burn a Gun. Now, I'm always going to tell you to carry. I'm always going to tell you to carry, and I'm always going to tell you that I have zero issue with using lethal force to protect myself and my loved ones. That said, there are instances where you are blocked from carrying. I have very good friends who live in New York and Manhattan, and they have to because of work. One works in the legal system. One works in media. I have a friend in D.C. You know, they comes out of her workplace. Sometimes she's working till 11:30 at night and has to go into a parking garage. Doesn't want to worry about her safety, but yet every place is a gun-free zone. Doesn't matter if she has a license to carry or not. She got a Byrna SD. That's their most popular model. So if you don't know what the Byrna gun is, it's a non-firearm firearm that doesn't care about gun-free zones. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. Stun guns and all that, they only have like one or two rounds. This is five rounds. Five-round capability, and it provides a pretty powerful deterrent. It's legal in all 50 states, no background checks, no permits, can be shipped right to your front door, and it doesn't care, again, about gun-free zone areas. You need to check it out. They have different models. The Byrna SD is the most popular one. You can get different colors, different accessories, projectiles, all of it. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program, and it's Veterans Day, and we are very grateful to all of those who have served our great nation, which is why we think that, you know, everybody deserves better than these measly choices that they're getting. And I do get very upset because this is a huge thing. When you give away natural rights, you never get them back. And maybe some people have forgotten or they weren't there for that fight. But we almost lost a big chunk, even more than we did, of our firearm rights. And Rick Scott was part of that. We're talking about the Senate majority leadership, which is a huge thing. You might think this is in the weeds, but let me ask you this. Do we have the audio where Trump was calling for national reciprocity? Because we should. Trump made a video where he actually called for national reciprocity. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 3. Listen.
Seventh, I will protect the right of self-defense everywhere it is under siege, and I will sign concealed carry reciprocity. Woo. Your Second Amendment does not end at the state line.
Woo! No other president or president-elect or even former president has ever said this. Kane, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
Ain't never happened.
Nope.
Y'all remember? And they never happened. No one has said that. we could actually get concealed carry reciprocity, but not with Rick Scott. Actually, not with any of the three selected. Definitely sure as hell not Rick Scott. Some people are like, why are some people pushing him? Because there's conservative ink, too. You have the conservative establishment. It's all the same people. They do all the backdoor meetings. They're like, you know, they bash Mitch McConnell, but they'll happily go to his cocktail parties. I know, because pictures of them exist out on social. I mean, it's all a thing. It's all a ruse. It's all about these people who are power jockeying. The closest they've ever come to canvassing is being on X yelling at people. That's it. That's why. Or people who haven't been in the fight enough or long enough to even know these cats' records. Do you think, honestly, that a guy who steamrolled over your Second Amendment, your Fourth Amendment, your Fifth Amendment rights and signed into law a massive chunk of gun control is going to shepherd that through the Senate? Because I have a bridge to sell you if you think so. We'll lose the chance for reciprocity in our lifetime. It will not happen again. I don't see it happening again. We have a unique opportunity with the House, the Senate, and the White House. And the first thing out of the gate is the establishment set you up with a bad choice. And they did. Someone asked me, well, Dana, aren't these the only ones who wanted to run? You tell me, how likely would you want to run if the establishment cleared the field and they control the purse strings for fundraising? Let me go back to 2022 when Rick Scott was the head of NRSC, right? Rick Scott was the head of NRSC, and in 2022, we lost the Senate because of him. We absolutely lost the Senate. Republicans were apoplectic. They were livid because, I mean, understandably, and I mean, I'm talking about hardcore conservatives that were upset. New York, NRSC, Rick Scott, NRSC, they raised almost $182 million. That's a huge war chest, right? He blew 95%. Rick Scott wasted over 95% of a $182 million war chest on consultants, self-promotion, and a fundraising scheme, a digital fundraising scheme that drained the NRSC. You know what the NRSC is? The National Republican Senatorial Committee. They are responsible for getting Republican senators into the Senate. And he absolutely just killed himself. And us. We lost the Senate because of Rick Scott in 2022. He barely had $23 million cash on hand, which is a significantly far lower amount than what Democrats had. And then we were wondering why we didn't have money for ad buys in some of these senatorial campaigns. We were wondering why we couldn't do digital outreach. We were wondering why, and I saw it. I have people who work these campaigns. I have dear friends who work these campaigns, and they were screaming at each other. Why are they broke? Why can't they get resources for this? They got to add phone lines. They got to do this. They got to send mailers out. All this stuff costs. They had no money because Rick Scott blew it all. And then guess what he had to do? He went to Mitch McConnell and Mitch McConnell bailed his ass out. What kind of deal do you think Rick Scott had to make with Mitch McConnell to get that? There you go. Because Mitch McConnell always has a plan. It's one of the reasons why he is a terrifying and brilliant senator. I don't say that in awe. I'm telling you that as a warning. He saved Rick Scott, bailed out Rick Scott. What kind of deal do you think Rick Scott had to cut for that? And then very interestingly, Rick Scott fell right in line with McConnell's amnesty and everything else after that. Go back and look. Go and Google the articles. I have some of them linked up at my Substack where I wrote about all of this. With receipts, by the way. It's all up there. Tell me what kind of deal do you think Rick Scott had to cut to get that? Interesting, is it not? So in addition to that, because that's pretty bad, he backed Obama's amnesty, That was a little while ago, but he did back Obama's amnesty. I mean, the GOP establishment, they put out three of their hand-selected candidates. Scott's record isn't as known for some reason. And they're trying to repackage him as this like MAGA contender. Now, Rick Scott only recently started kissing Trump's backside because he knew he needed to protect his ambition. Now, John Cornyn and John Thune, for the people again in the back, none of the three who apparently have failed to read the millions of times I've written this, the video I made and everything else, and think that when you say I like pancakes, it means you hate waffles. They're not better. All three have betrayed the voter. John Cornyn put our rights in the crosshairs with his gun control bill. He got booed for that and so much more at the Texas GOP convention. And again, don't even get me started on amnesty with him. John Thune's record is lesser known than Cornyn's, but not lesser known than Scott's, because Scott's PR campaign, again, is trying to blind people so he can hide his record as a squish. But John Thune has one of the most moderate records in the Senate. So that means he's compromised on amnesty. He's compromised on gun control, John Cornyn's gun control bill. He's compromised on all of it. So do you honestly think, would you want to run again for Senate leader knowing that the establishment is clearing the field? They control the fundraising. They control the levers in order to get people where they need to be in the Senate. They made it very known that they want the field cleared and they want these are their candidates. They're giving you the illusion of choice. I'll say it again. They are giving you the illusion of choice, but you're not getting a real choice. And this is how the establishment gets people. And see, the people who pretend to fight the establishment, they're in the catbird seat right now. They're all adjacent to that power there in D.C. So they're happy to go along so long as they maintain that adjacency. That's why you're seeing some people stump for people. This is also why I do not live in D.C. Oh, I've had job offers. And I've said no to every single one of them. Because at some point, you got to be somebody's prostitute. This is about consistency and a mandate. None of these choices that were hand-selected by the establishment reflect the freedom mandate that you gave on Tuesday. These establishment skeksis, they want to give you this illusion of choice. Do you think that Trump wanting to be hardcore on the border, do you think that would actually work with any of these amnesty guys? They control the calendar. Some people have said, well, who, Dana? Well, I wish that some of these candidates would get the balls necessary to step up and go for the leadership position themselves. It's a little hard to run against the establishment when they got the money and all that with them. And they've been able to rope in some of Con Inc. into doing it. I get it. But I really wish that they would. I wish Rand Paul would do it. I wish Mike Lee would do it. But Dana, they're so conservative. How can you expect them to generate consensus? Oh, I didn't realize that's been working so well for us this whole time. Oh, Kane, I didn't know we've never had a moderate in this position to help with consensus. I didn't know that.
I didn't think about it. Well, that's weird.
I didn't know. Don't you think you deserve better? Why? Just hear me out. Why don't we get someone who's just a constitutionalist, like a Lee, like a Paul, and try our way for once, just once? Because, you know, it's been working so well for the establishment. Now, coming up, some people have called for J.D. Vance. Now, I want to let you know, there's a difference between Senate president and Senate majority leader. I was actually pretty open to that. And then I had a very good friend who is a constitutional law attorney tell me that while they like that idea, that there's a problem. And we're going to talk about that coming up. We have Days of These United States on the way, but we got to talk about why. Like, I didn't have a problem with Vance, but I get the argument that my very smart con law friend was explaining to me, because I asked them, I said, what's the precedent for this? And why wouldn't this be an issue? Why would this be an issue? And they explained it, and they're huge Vance fans. My friend is a ridiculous Vance fan. Not that that's a bad, but I'm just saying they are like really like that sealed the deal for them. So I need, and I, it made sense to me. So we're going to talk about that coming up. We have Days of These United States on the way that we're going to get into. It's a pretty packed show. And then we're going to talk about Chuck Schumer saying, no, 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 Dave McCormick can't come to orientation because Bob Casey, he won't concede. We have to talk about all of that and more. Your money does not go to undermine your vote. And you can't say that. If you don't have Patriot Mobile, you absolutely cannot say that with your cell phone service. Your money is not undermining your vote with Patriot Mobile. I saw judges whose campaigns were aided by ad buys that Patriot Mobile made possible. Our sheriff was protected in Tarrant County. Our congressional our representative in D.C. was protected. They helped parents and gave them the resources to be able to take over the school board when they were outspent like 10 to nothing by all of this outstate money that was coming in trying to Marxify our school board with DEI. So you're not only getting great cell phone service and great coverage with affordable plans and a U.S.-based customer service team that's going to get you set up quick and easy, but you're also supporting your values. And they also have Patriot Mobile One, one phone, one carrier, multiple networks, seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities so you can have personal and business on a single device, and all major network access, free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Celebrate the win by switching today. Call 972-PATRIOT. Tell them I sent you and drop my name because you get all kinds of free stuff, free activation. You're going to get a free month of service, all of that. So call today, celebrate, switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hey, I just want to give some free advice to the white progressives, particularly white progressive women who may be thinking about marching against the Trump victory, maybe putting back on the P-word hats and doing that thing. I would just say probably don't send any of those invites to any black women you know. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're not coming. I'm pretty sure black women have resigned from the Save America Coalition, Save Democracy Coalition, and definitely the Save the Democratic Party Coalition. I think that's probably not happening. I would just keep those invites maybe among your own friends.
I don't think people flatter themselves to actually think that they're going to get an invitation to something. Yeah. Girl, ain't nobody going to invite you to nothing. So no worries. You don't have to worry there. Where's Justine Bateman to fisk this video? The lighting, the incessant use of the hand. It's like she got a manicure and is trying to show it off or something. I don't get it. Like, why is your hand three quarters of the screen, you know, and like you're messing, you're like pulling the focus away by like constantly shoving your hand up and like, well, stop it, girl, quit. Quit. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Oh, the coping and seething is still, it's still happening. Do we have the video of Joe Biden? Is there, I mean, it's okay if we don't, because it's kind of sad to watch, but I don't feel sad because they were really mean and they badly ran the country. So I don't have any pity or pity to give at all. He was at his beach house. How do you say that? Steve? What? Rehoboth. I'm not a lucky 1%er that gets to live on the beach like that. So I don't know. Not that you are, but you live out there, so you know the name of it. He was in at his beach house, and he was like apparently having a lot of trouble to walking around in the sand. And a lot of people noticed Jill. So she's walking right next to him, and he's clearly about to eat it, right? He's about to eat sand. And she didn't help him at all. She didn't help him. She don't steady him. She don't hold on to his arm. Nothing. She just like keeps walking. I thought that was kind of, see, say Broadway, man. Right? It was kind of, it seemed a little mean, just saying. I don't know, but they're, now they're fighting. Oh, Juan's getting it. Oh my gosh. She just kept walking. She's not, it looked like oh my gosh, guys. It was kind of like watching a toddler, and I'm not saying that to be mean, but that was really bad to watch. And she just, did she think that not helping him would be better for this optic? Because it just made her look heartless. Like, we see him falling. Don't pretend that he's not. And then think that we're going to go along with that. I mean, he is struggling so hard to walk in the sand. It's tough. No, it's not. For him.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I don't know. I just thought that was weird. She didn't help him. She didn't give him a hand. Nothing. Don't get you a woman who would risk letting you eat it on the beach. Fall on your face right in the sand because cameras are there. Don't get you that kind of woman. Good night. It's wild. All right, so they're still upset. So now it's starting to bubble up that Biden didn't get out early enough. That's their excuse they're using. Not just that their candidate was heinous, and they still don't understand that it was their full-on push of DEI and in Bidenomics and high taxes and all of this other stuff that cost them support. They don't get it. Their civil war that they're going to have in that party. Ooh, they don't even have a coalition anymore. I was thinking about this, that they don't have a coalition. So this is something that we got to talk about also coming up. On deck too, Senator Eric Schmidt, he offered to personally escort Dave McCormick into the Senate because Chuck Schumer is not going to let him into the clubhouse. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into Holly Weir, George Clooney. He's leaving politics because he feels like he's being made a scapegoat over Kamala Harris. Well, I mean, dude, you did endorse her and you did fundraise for her and all that stuff. But OK, we've got Pennsylvania, Arizona, the latest from those two states, the latest with the ongoing battle as well, because I'm going to give you some solutions coming up second hour. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
It's true. We did. We were all very much more well-read than Joy Reid. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour. It's the first week after elections. This is like that. It feels like the crazy week between Christmas and New Year's where you forget like what day it is and you like have no idea what's happening. You just know you have a lot of leftovers. And I feel like that's sort of where we are after the election, because now we're dealing with like leftover drama and all of this other stuff. And for those of you listening across the country, Channel 347 DirecTV, I made mention of this last hour. This is the latest. So Chuck Schumer is very upset, and he has, per Politico and The Hill and everybody else, he is withholding, which I didn't know you could do, the invitation to Senate orientation to Dave McCormick because Bob Casey will not concede. I mean, he got beaten, but apparently he wasn't beaten to rhetorical, you know, politically speaking, death. So I don't know. So now they're not going to invite him to Senate orientation. So I was looking at this like I didn't even know they could do it. And about that time, Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt, he had a tweet or a post on X that came up saying he would escort Dave McCormick into the Senate, which kind of like it sounded like, you know, fight, fight, fight. I'm just saying. And I wanted to ask the senator about this. And for my home state of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, Senator Eric Schmidt from the Show Me State, who offered to escort McCormick in. So first off, Senator, welcome. It's good to be here. And congratulations on all the Republican victories that we've had. That was a good last week. Explain something to me. I didn't think, I mean, I didn't think you could withhold an, I mean, he won. McCormick won. I didn't think that you could withhold an invitation to orientation. He kind of needs it.
Yeah, I don't really know if Chuck Schumer can. I think this is just him being a big baby and not taking the L, which he should. I mean, the AP has called this. This isn't like a, it's not like, you know what I mean? This isn't like there's a 10-vote margin and we got to know. This is an important thing for actually the people of Pennsylvania to make sure their senator comes in and has letterhead and kind of knows where the bathrooms are, right? Yeah. I did this 2 years ago. There's just people assume, I guess you, I didn't spend any time in Washington. I was Missouri Attorney General. So, like, there's a lot you learn in that first week. Like, you know, putting an
office together. It's a big building.
It's a big building. There's, you got to hire people. And so it's just ridiculous. It's sour grapes. And I think I had tweeted even on, or posted on X, like, you know, him, that Schumer's being an election denier and this is a threat to democracy. Yep. Are we getting this right? The terms that you've used for extreme MAGA Republicans over the last 4 years, let's turn them around on you because you don't want to up the results of the election. So, yeah, I'm happy to help. I'm 6'6". I'm happy to sort of walk.
So I just want to say that it sounded, when I read his post on X, it sounded exactly as I thought it. I was like, I know that Senator Schmidt's a pretty tall dude. You know, and he, I just, you know, it sounds like, you know, he's like walking in like, what's good. I mean, so it was, that was kind of the spirit of the post.
Yeah. The nuance sometimes hard on X to figure out, but yeah, I'm happy to escort my friend Dave McCormick in so he can actually be part of the Senate orientation because he won his Senate race.
Yeah.
So yes.
What are they waiting for? I know that they said, well, there's still some votes. Where are these votes? Like in some Democrats couch cushions, where are they? Does make sense?
Yeah. No, look, that's a big win. And I mean, you know, I'm sure hopefully you've had a lot of fun over the last week recounting that historic win that President Trump had. It's a mandate. I mean, winning the popular vote, sweeping all the battleground states, a huge win. It's a huge opportunity now for the Senate majority to come in along with the House and actually get some things done. You know, Dave McCormick won a very tough race in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's not even particularly close. The AP has called it. So he has every right to be there. And as I mentioned, more importantly, the people of Pennsylvania deserve to have their vote honored by having their, you know, senator take part in a voluntary, quite frankly, orientation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, and this, and I know that some others have said that they would also help to escort. Yours was the first one that I saw. I don't know Bob Casey personally. It just seems kind of petty that he hasn't conceded yet. And apparently that was one of the things that Chuck Schumer cited. Well, you know, Senator Casey hasn't conceded and there's still, but he's lost. I mean, he needs to do the unifying thing. I thought that they were all about bringing dignity or whatever back into D.C. I guess not.
Well, Schumer is the master of claiming to want to be bipartisan, but he is a ruthless control freak. And the best example of that in my first 2 years, Dana, was when Secretary Mayorkas was impeached. There's literally been no time in the history of our country, almost 250 years, where someone's been impeached and they're still alive and still in office, and there hasn't been a trial in the United States Senate. That's how it's supposed to work. Chuck Schumer just decided we're going to dismiss the case with a majority of Democrats. So Chuck Schumer doesn't care at all about, you know, traditions in the Senate or bipartisanship. He is, you know, said he would end the filibuster and pack the court. So this is just sort of more of the same from Chuck Schumer. But I don't think, you know, Republicans have to take that. I mean, Dave McCormick has every right to be there. I'll certainly support his right to be there. And as I said, escort him in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider running for Senate Majority Leader?
I don't know. I don't know who would want that job sometimes.
Because you understand the law, you're 6'6", as you said. So I mean, you can just go, no, my decision stands, and that's it. And I mean, I don't think anybody could take you. So I'm just, you know, throwing that out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a reason to do it. But no, I think my role is to sort of help further along the America First agenda and do everything that I can. And so I'm happy to represent the people of Missouri and do everything that I can to do it. So
talking Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt, who's joining us via Skype. I wanted to ask you about that majority race because, you know, you just mentioned packing the court and we were talking about it feels like you can exhale a little bit after last week. I mean, because I know I was on pins and needles wondering how much more of my income I was going to give to go and pay pensions in Ukraine. You know, I'm, you know, watching this and I was worried about my military age sons and everything else, as I'm sure so many other parents are. But I feel like voters gave the party a mandate last week and a pretty big one. I mean, House, Senate, White House. Does that call for more conservative leadership in the Senate? Because the three names that I keep seeing circulated, you know, and I got to tell you, and I don't want to put you in a weird spot because I know, you know, you're from my home state and I've, you know, I've backed you from the beginning and I know that you got to work with these people. So, you know, you got to remain, you got to have some remnant of goodwill to work with these people. So I don't want you to compromise any tools that you have for persuasion for them. But I got to say, I find it really difficult to think that we're going to go for change when we've got the same swamp rats over and over again running for these leadership positions. And some of them, they have records that are indistinguishable for moderate Democrats, especially on gun rights, due process, amnesty. How is that factoring into this process for all of everybody in the Senate going to this vote on Wednesday by secret ballot, apparently?
Yeah, so my criteria for this for who I'm going to support is I want to make sure we have conservative leadership. I want to make sure our agenda reflects the agenda that the American people voted for in an overwhelming manner. I mean, it's certainly, you know, when I won 2 years ago, those are the things that I talked about. We have to have a secure border. We have to have an economy that works for, like, real people, working people. It's left too many people behind. And so those people stood up and they said, we want our kids to have a better opportunity than we had, but we got to make sure we have, you know, they're just falling behind. The sticker shock every week at the grocery store is a real thing. We want to be energy dominant. So for me, the person I'm going to vote for is somebody who most reflects that. And also, Dana, this is a little bit in the weeds, but the Senate has become, it's like kabuki theater. I think people often think it's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington and you're on the floor and you're fighting for an amendment here. It's very scripted. And that's wrong because it doesn't reflect. You know, as a senator from Missouri, you don't get to build some unusual coalition on an issue that matters not just to your state, but for your country on the fly. We should do more of those things. There ought to be more members involved because we represent millions and millions and millions of people, as opposed to what we've had with Chuck Schumer and you know, even among some Republicans, where it's just like two or three people write some omnibus bill at the last minute and you vote on it at midnight.
Right.
Right. That's wrong.
Right.
And so I'm fighting for real reform, and I want somebody who's going to take that position to be a reform-minded candidate and somebody that's going to move President Trump's agenda. Because, as you said, look, President Trump's got 4 years. But the truth of the matter is, I think we have to look at it, we have to do as much as we can in 2 years, because you never know what's going to happen,
with midterms.
We have an opportunity that's been given to us, whether it's on judges, whether it's on energy, whether it's on the border, whatever it is that we need to do, we need to move quickly, and we can't be hemming and hawing about things and infighting. This is the time. The Democrats do this when they get these opportunities, and we don't.
Right.
So we need to do it
so
now.
Is it true that it's Scott, Thune, and Cornyn that are like basically the three final contenters?
Yep.
And those then it is secret ballot on Wednesday. I just wanted to clarify for everybody.
Yeah, and it is. That's the Senate rules. Yeah.
Of the three, who do you think best is going to accomplish the task that you laid out?
I thought you might answer that question. I am continuing to talk to all of them literally today because I want to know which candidate is actually going to deliver for the mandate that we've been given.
Right.
And so I'm going to keep talking to each one of them. It's really important to me. I don't want to squander the opportunity. I did not run for office and spend that time away from my family.
I think you're a real one of the senators that has gone there. And I think that you, I don't know, it's this show me state thing. I think that you get it more than most. And you know, I look at this, like I have reservations, obviously, about all of them. And I have some of my biggest are against Cornyn and Scott, and particularly Scott, because of the gun control bill that he passed in Florida. Because it was more than just about Second Amendment. It was about Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And he's never come out and said, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. And maybe I would even almost take it was in the heat of the moment after a horrible tragedy, because I was there. I was at the town hall. I was there arguing with bad cop Scott Israel. I remember all of it. And I remember the fight behind doors that was taking place in D.C. at the time. And I get that I watched Senator Rubio, you know, kind of crumble apart on stage, you know, right before I went out. I understand that it's hard in these moments. And I'm all about giving grace and reconciling, especially when it comes to moving forward. But you know, you and I know, because we've talked about Alvin Bragg's persecution of Trump in Manhattan.
Yeah.
We've talked about J6ers. I see so much breakdown of law and order, particularly at the judicial level and with these activist DAs. I can't have a Senate majority leader that is going to implement some of that at that level. And that is like my biggest concern. What would you tell people to assure them if, heaven forbid, it gets to that point? What do you tell people to, like, you know, because Rick Scott will not talk to me. What I don't know what else to tell my listeners. How would you assuage us?
Well, I think the input that's coming in is great. I mean, I think that we ought to always welcome that. I mean, I think listening is a big part of leadership, right? I mean that sincerely. I think that you want to understand where people are at. And when I said that I want our leadership to be reflective of where people are at, that's what I'm talking about. I will tell you that, like, the biggest downer for me in my first 2 years up there is some of the conversations in Washington are so detached from what people really talk about at home. You know, like, you know, you got some people saying the most important thing we can do is another $60 billion for Ukraine. There's not one person in Missouri who's come up to me and said, you know, Eric, the most important thing you can do up there is send another $60 billion to Ukraine. It never happened. It never happens. It never will happen. So again, nobody's perfect. But I think that with this opportunity that we have, we just got to have an agenda that reflects what people want us to do. I can't imagine a more resounding exclamation point on that than what we saw on Tuesday. There were so many naysayers, and I spent a lot of time with President Trump on the campaign trail, including in the last week on Trump Force One with people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I was with Tulsi Gabbard and J.D. Vance. We've got a new coalition. This is good. You and I, Dana, grew up in working-class neighborhoods in Missouri, right? That's my family, and that's who we are now. It's a huge opportunity for us now that we have a bigger base to continue to grow that, to speak to more Americans, but we have to deliver. And I think that's what this whole thing's about for me.
I hope that it will play, and I know you will. Keep our rights in mind, and I know you will. And please encourage those running to reach out to voters that have questions like the ones that I brought up, because I've gotten thousands. I mean, my email's destroyed. I've gotten so many from listeners and viewers across the nation who want assurances from Senate leadership on this stuff. Even if they don't see eye to eye with them, they need to hear from these folks. They can't pretend that their records don't exist. So if, you know, in whatever way you can, encourage them to speak out about this, because that goes a long way in building those bridges and that coalition too. Senator Eric Schmidt, always appreciate you, because you always engage. You're always transparent, and you're from the Show Me State. So, I really do appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
All right, Dana. Good to see you again.
All right, you too. We have more to come, folks, as we head towards our headline segment. And of course, we couldn't do it without partners like the best coffee that is out there, the best roast. They get the best coffee beans. This is great coffee, veteran owned, veteran run, veteran roasted. They get the best coffee beans from around the world, and they bring them back to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah, and they roast them. You can have right now at blackriflecoffee.com. You need to check out their Freedom Roast. It's what our founding fathers would drink if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee. They're drinking any coffee, it'd be Black Rifle Coffee. And if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee, it'd be Freedom Roast. It's a smooth medium roast. You got notes of milk and chocolate and vanilla, and it's complemented by a hint of cinnamon and a buttery finish, and every sip is a throat punch to Marxism. It's a tribute to liberty and those who fought for our nation. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And subscribe to the Coffee Club at Black Rifle Coffee and get free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep. And you get the convenience of always having your favorite coffee on hand without the need for last-minute trips. That's stressful when you wake up and there's no coffee. You can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from blackriflecoffee.com and taste all of the other top shelf roasts they offer, like the Black Roast, Just Black, and Silencer Smooth. And whatever you decide, you get 20% off your order with code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I had to laugh after this because this is a far left leaning British publication, but they're saying the ultra wealthy Democrats are racing to buy London bolt holes after Trump's win. Inquiries from American buyers seeking a safety net of a second home have doubled, says a relocation boss. Wow, do you know how bougie that sounds? Most people can't afford like a home. And these people are like, oh, we're so displeased that Trump won. We've got to go purchase a second home in London town. Oh, please. Anyway, Peanut the Squirrel, the fallout continues. The officers union says the public was misled in the seizure and death of Peanut the Squirrel. Were we though? I mean, it's a little squirrel. The union that represents the environmental conservation offices is speaking out. They're calling for a calm. They said that they've gotten backlash. Oh, Peanut got murdered. What do you think about that? They said that people were misled that the guy didn't have proper licensing. Whack, whack, don't care. Two animals were either, you know what? They were pets. They could not be rehabilitated. or for lack of a better way to put it, repatriated into nature because they had been domesticated. They posed no threat to anyone. This was just big government overreach. And no, we don't forgive you. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. And we couldn't do it without the folks who bring it to you. And that includes Kel-Tec. The P15 is one to have. And if you don't have it, well, I don't know why. What is stopping you? It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack, 9mm on the market, bar none. Nothing else comes close. And I have a lot of stuff. And I'm telling you, personally, nothing else comes close. It's just innovation from Kel-Tec. And of course, they're the absolute creators of that micro-compact pistol category. Now, the P15, it comes in two versions, metal frame version, and then you have the polymer as well. Metal version has that gorgeous walnut wood paneled grip, and then the polymer gator grip for, you know, texture and greater, you know, ease of handling. And it sends standard two rounds, two magazines, 15 round magazine, minimal pinky extension. And then for ultra concealability, you have a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, striker fire reliability, nice smooth trigger pull, lifetime warranty. It is compact and ideal for concealed carry self-defense from Kel-Tec, the makers of the P15. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Just so you know, like if you ask me on social media, like what are your choices? What is your solution? I've written about it. I've done a video about it. I'm not going to answer every single person individually because I'll spend all day sending you the same damn link of the stuff that I write. I think some of them are bots who just want to pretend that there are no solutions because they want one of the rhino swamp people. I think this is a big issue. And I normally, and you guys know me, it's very rare that I ever spend this much time on inside baseball because a lot of the times I'm like, it doesn't matter because it's who's pulling the lever. But with something like the Senate leadership position, this person controls the calendar and they also help shepherd through the people who sit on the Supreme Court. We could have some Supreme Court vacancies and I don't trust a guy who literally blew an almost $200 million budget on self-promotion, consultancy, and digital BS. I don't trust that guy to do the job. To say nothing about his complete compromise on the Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and amnesty. And that's Rick Scott. Now, don't pull, and you guys know I'm very forthright about this. I hate the argument that if you say that you like pancakes, somebody's like, oh, you hate waffles. I like that meme. No, bitch, that's a whole other sentence. That's a whole different thing. Totally different thing. And I've written about how I don't like any of the three. I don't know how many times I got to say, "Une of the E3." I don't like any of the three. So this is the issue at hand. And I've talked about this repeatedly. Now, I've had, because let's talk about the issue with who could it be? Because I've had some people suggest J.D. Vance. And I really liked in the very beginning. I was like, I like that idea. Why wouldn't it be J.D. Vance? Like, I mean, he's you know, you're as vice president, you're Senate president, which is different from Senate majority leader. So I think that that's incredibly important. However, I had a friend who was explaining to me how, as nice as that may seem, that is not a viable solution. And I thought, okay, well, why is that not? And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a constitutional law professor. And my friend was saying, well, it's because the Senate is the entity that decides who you can appoint, who you can install at the executive level, in the executive branch. By intermingling the two, you're essentially diminishing the power of the Senate. And you're diminishing its independence from the executive branch. And that one branch shouldn't be leading the other. That makes sense, I guess. When my friend was telling me that, because you have your executive, you have your legislative, you have your judicial branches. You can't have the executive lead the legislative. You need to have three separate branches of government. And I do agree with that. You don't want to consolidate. Imagine, let me put it like this. Imagine if Biden Harris said, you know what, we're going to have Harris be the majority leader also. Well, then you're having the executive branch run the legislative branch, at least part of it. And I do get that. So you do need to have that separation. So as much as I like that idea, not because I oppose him ideologically or the idea of it, because I feel like it would work better for me. And this is where I kind of have to go against my self-interest. Having J.D. Vance, that would, I feel like that would work for me. Instead of one of these, you know, anti-Second Amendment, anti-Fourth Amendment, anti-Fifth Amendment, amnesty-loving squishes. Oh my gosh, it would work so much better for me. So good for me right now. But I understand how that is a constitutional issue. And you don't want one branch leading the other three. And there's a difference between Senate President and Senate Majority Leader. So I don't like to, I don't like not being able to consider Vance. I get it, but I don't like it. Does that make sense? I really don't like it. It's like the Flintstone vitamins I had to take as a kid. Who really liked them? Yeah. They tasted like chalk.
They were chalky.
It was like sugar chalk. It was weird, right? And it tasted like red, color red. Like you could taste the color red. You know, they were good for you, so you ate them. But you didn't like it. And I feel like this is that same situation. So who? This is the problem with the establishment getting out there and clearing the field. As I explained earlier, when Rick Scott was the head of NRSC, and that stands for the National Republic, foobarred it in 2024, or sorry, 2022. Total foo, lost the Senate because of him. Do you think someone who's that damn ridiculous with that much money is going to be able to shepherd in Supreme Court appointments that were are going to be contested to kingdom come? Do you honestly think that? No. No, they set the calendar. Do you honestly think that he did make a deal with Mitch McConnell in 22? Because McConnell had to bail him out. Mitch McConnell came in, so McConnell has his own fundraising thing. How do you think he's been able to stay in there for so long? Oh, Mitch McConnell's got Mitch McConnell money. He's got Mitch McConnell fundraiser money. He can fundraise like nobody's business. That's a big thing in the Senate and House. And if you're a Republican, a lot of the senior, you got to buy your seniority. I don't know if you know this. You have to meet the mark every quarter of fundraising. You have to raise X amount. And depending on what district you're from, you have to raise more than others because you're expected to help out those in tougher districts. So you, they go out and they raise a lot of money. If you want seniority, well, that's going to cost you. In addition to being there longer, it's going to cost you. You got to pay. So that's why the top fundraisers get these prime spots. So Mitch McConnell's got Mitch McConnell money. Rick Scott had to make a deal with Mitch McConnell so McConnell would come and bail him out. Now, again, for the people who are like, you said you like pancakes. Why do you hate waffles? That's not an endorsement of the other two squishes. This is a completely separate line of thought. But you can't tell me that that man did not cut a deal with Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell always cuts a deal. He's not going to give away millions of dollars for what does Mitch McConnell get from giving away millions of fundraiser dollars that he can do whatever the hell he wants with? What does he get out of it? A rubber stamped leadership if his guy gets picked. Don't kid yourself. All three of these people are his guy. Con Inc., the Peach Fuzz people that are out there telling you, Rick Scott is America first. No, he's not. He's bought and sold by Mitch McConnell. Are you high? The hell kind of Hunter Biden logic is this? No way. This is why it's harder to get to my point about solutions. For these other lawmakers, the more quiet ones, the ones who get the job done, to get in there and run. They made it clear. It's like dropping a bomb and clearing the field. All right, these are our guys, you know. They beamed them in there like Star Trek. Here's our guys. And so if you're like a Mike Lee, if you're a Rand Paul, you see the establishment putting three of them out there to give you the illusion of choice. Well, you get to pick one of our three. What, you picked them all. Yes, but you get to pick one of the three we picked for you. And then you got some people out there going, oh, goody, we got a choice. Woo! That's not how that works. You didn't actually get a choice. You got the illusion of a choice. Let's be real. So if you're a Mike Lee or a Rand Paul, you're looking at this like, well, the hell? How am I going to get in there? How am I going to do this? See what I mean? So this is why you need to, rhetorically speaking, burn down your lawmakers' phone lines and you turn up the pressure on social media. Ignore the trolls. Don't read the comments. Singular focus, folks. And you put that pressure on. All pedal, no brakes. All gas, no brakes. That's what you got to do. Remember, during the speaker fight, Mike Johnson was not that he's better. I'm not saying this because I'm saying that Mike Johnson is the super conservative. I'm not saying that. He wasn't on the list, though, in the beginning. Remember that whole fight? Nobody had him on the list. All of a sudden, his name was on the list, and people were like, the hell, where did he come from? You could have something similar Wednesday. It's by secret ballot, though. That makes it tougher. Oh, yes, it's all secret ballot. Mm-hmm. Because our governments were so concerned about transparency, they decided to have a secret ballot. Wait, what? Yeah. You know, America First or something. Same. So you could pressure. The problem is that this has been in the works for a long time, even before the election, even before the convention. It's been in the works for a while. They knew it was coming. This has been in the works for over a year. They knew it was coming. That's why when I saw Rick Scott start pivoting to kissing Trump's ass, I was like, wait a minute, what? He never targeted him, but he was critical. He was catty and petty in other ways about it, right? Trump comes out and he's like, I want national reciprocity. Rick Scott literally like was fighting that in Florida. Fighting it. He fought it in Florida. He signed a big giant gun control bill. You think that you're going to get national reciprocity with that dude as Senate Majority Leader? No. And you're not going to get a strong border either. Rick Scott, as I wrote about on my Substack, and I helpfully linked the receipts. The only thing I didn't do was go to people's houses and read it for them like a mama bird puts the food in the baby bird's mouth. I didn't do that. I linked it and I talked about how he worked with Obama on amnesty. That is an absolute true thing, particularly where it concerned DACA. The Deferred Action Childhood Arrival. He was a big DACA supporter, Rick Scott. Now, without a caveat, without any kind of rails, right? That's a problem. Deferred Action Childhood Arrival, if your parents dragged you here unwillingly, you were brought here against your will because you were a little kid. There was no caveat that stipulated so long as the moment you became of age when you could apply for scholarships and jobs, if you didn't start the process of becoming a citizen, then you cannot be protected from deportation. I feel like that's a caveat that should be included. Rick Scott did not. He was for amnesty across the board. And don't tell me it's hard. There's like a million immigration offices a stone's throw of where I am right now. You walk in, you start the process. And a lot of them are pro bono because you got these activist groups. So I don't want to hear it. DACA was supposed to be protecting people from deportation anyway. So there was no excuse not to start it. A lot of the biggest advocates for amnesty said that they were dreamers. They were DACA kids. But then why that? You applied to work at like CNN, like that one dude. You applied for college scholarships. You could do everything but apply for citizenship and start the process while you were. And then after the protection went away under the first Trump administration, people are like, oh, my gosh. Well, why didn't you start the pro? Rick Scott was against any kind of caveat like that. He's an amnesty guy. He and John Cornyn were both amnesty dudes and Thune to an extent. They all worked on it. They met in those bipartisan Senate meetings and they worked with Democrats. Blah, blah, blah. So do you honestly think you're going to get tough border stuff with that guy? The solution is to rain rhetorical hell on your lawmakers and demand that one of them get the cojones to stand up and take this spot. And it does work. Don't buy the establishment's lie and their illusion of choice. Don't buy Con Inc's lie that, no, this was the three we got. You still have time. You delivered a mandate last week. Why would you roll over and wave the white flag of surrender now? Hadn't even been a week. We got more to come. We got Florida Man on the way. You deserve better. And we need to make sure we holler that you get it. So ReadyWise is premium survival food, and it ships fast right to your door, and it's affordable. And you know the chain of command, because these are U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, and then they are sent to you, so you know where your food is coming from. They have a lot of great deals also. They have the 72-hour food kit. So that has all of the calories that you need, your 12 servings of, or 8 servings of your ultimate survival food. You got breakfast, you got your dinners, you got your lunches, you got drinks, you got snacks, you got, all the calories that you need, all the protein you need in your 20% required carb intake. Comfort in a crisis and beyond. And you can also save 20% on your whole order when you use Dana20 at checkout. So this is great, obviously, for emergencies. Maybe you want to go camping. My grandpa used to camp, and when he would go hunting, and he would take literally like a gallon of sweet tea, sun tea, and Spam. And that's what this man ate. He would have loved to have this. 25-year shelf life. So visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. Get 20% off your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Sometimes Florida Man's the sanest part of the day, you know. So this guy... This is WFLA. A Florida man is accused of stabbing his brother in the neck for talking over food while cooking. A Miami man was arrested because he stabbed his brother in the neck for talking over the food while he was cooking. Alexander Rodriguez, 20, stabbed his brother with a kitchen knife in their Miami home. They got in an argument. The brother took off to a bedroom. Rodriguez followed him behind, sliced his arm and his face, says the article. And when first responders arrived, the brother was covering his stab wounds with clothing. He was taken to hospital in stable condition. They found the brother, the stabber, hiding in a nearby tree, and he was taken into custody. So what happened is Rodriguez said he got mad because his brother was, quote, talking over the food. And then he says he thought his brother was going for the knife because of the attitude that his brother had. And they ended up getting, I don't understand. Was he like spitting in it? Like, what was the talking over it while he was cooking? I don't understand it. I don't know. So the Florida man who provided the tiger for the LSU game, now everyone's saying he's got a history of animal abuse, and they're asking if it's the new Tiger King. I just want to say that there are some colleges in Texas that have actual animals, too. So I don't want to hear it. Like, Baylor has bears. So, you know, oh, you just got a tiger? Look at the rivalry. I don't know. So the live tiger, it was LSU. It is owned by Mitchell Kalmanson. He's a Florida-based exotic animal owner, and the tiger's name is Omar Bradley. Except he's got like a 20-year history of citations and federal animal abuse violations and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know. Is the tiger happy? Like, does it get like steaks and stuff? Like, I don't know. I think we would like to know about this. Some of these are really, I got two that are really inappropriate. So this is a woman was arrested at Pensacola Beach last Thursday. Her name is Tiffany Gerken, like the pickle. She injured another woman's eye. She was waving a political sign, and apparently she was waving signs for Harry Walz and hit someone in the face, apparently. And now she's in trouble. You might say Ms. Gerken is in a pickle. Ha ha ha. I literally is the only reason I cared about that story. That's it. We're done with that one. Third hour on the way. So who can be Senate Majority Leader? And also, George Clooney says he's leaving politics. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this third hour. The Cope and Seething. If you're listening across the country, you're watching Channel 347 DirecTV, the chats and Rumble. The Cope and Seething continues. Can I share with you? I've been waiting to share this one with you real quick. I gotta pull this up. Spare a tear for George Clooney, guys. George Clooney has the big time sads. He says he feels he's being used as a scapegoat because everyone's trying to find a home for the blame. No one wants to blame themselves. Like, the Democrats don't want to go, oh, it was our fault that we decided to run this like barely sentient old, you know, geriatric who's falling over in the sand. I mean, being old is not a bad thing, but lying about your cognitive ability while you're commander in chief is. That's a bad thing. I mean, isn't like Trump is like the same age and Trump plays golf in the heat and humidity like every day. Sidebar, did you see the photo of him where he was like out in the heat and he had hat sweat? He was wearing the white hat. And I'm like, dude, he's sweating to death. I'm sorry, but I don't want to sweat like that when I don't golf. Like if I'm going to sweat, I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to be working out. I'll sweat at the outdoor range. If I'm like, you know, it's a hot, I'll do that. But you just don't you sit around a lot with the golf? And then you have to get up and it's like real precise and you got to focus while you're sweating with the sweat. And I just, anyway, Biden couldn't do that. Biden can't walk on sand. So I'm looking at this and I don't feel bad about George Clooney. I know everyone's trying to find a place for the blame to go because the Republicans don't want none. They don't want to take any blame for running one of the most unpopular candidates ever. Some of them apparently are blaming George Clooney, and George Clooney is super mad about it. So they said that he feels like he's getting backlash because remember, he had endorsed Kamala Harris. He had promoted her. He raised money for her. And he thinks that it is unfair to criticize him for doing that or for considering that maybe he bears some culpability in helping to advance her. And so they said he invested so much time into the Democrat Party, but now he's going to take a step back for now. He feels very disheartened. When he wrote his op-ed, George didn't say that Biden is not fit to be president. Choose Kamala. I mean, you know, the Democrats said, oh, stop it. He's trying to give himself some kind of plausible deniability. We saw it. We saw what you said. We know what you said. We know it. You went out and you advanced her. You promoted her. And now you don't want any culpability for it. Nope. Mm-mm. And that just not. Yeah, he said she was saving democracy. So the friends are his surrogates are like, he didn't say to vote for Kamala. No, he just told everyone to support her means you're saving democracy. Kane, that sounds like a big go and support her, doesn't it?
Sure does.
It sure does. That's right. So I don't know. To me, it feels like he bears some of this responsibility. Got to say, it feels like he does. And he's worried about being a scapegoat. Well, you shouldn't have scapegoated yourself. He shouldn't have done that. Really shouldn't have. Now, in Pennsylvania, Bob Casey refuses to concede to Dave McCormick, despite the fact that McCormick beat him and Bob Casey lost. Bob Casey lost, so he's the loser. And the loser lost, and he's no longer in the Senate. He's done. Bob Casey's out. Dave McCormick is in. Chuck Schumer is like, well, Bob Casey hasn't conceded. So we talked to Eric Schmidt about this last hour. So Eric Schmidt and others have volunteered to walk him into the Senate for orientation. I think that you need to know the orientation, like Schmidt was saying. You got to hire a staff, number one. But then you also need to know, like, where's the snacks? Where's the latrine? You know, where's the thermostat? Like, where's, you know, basic things like, how, where do I park my car? That kind of stuff, you know? And to keep somebody out of orientation, that is another finger in the eye of voters in Pennsylvania. Gosh, why do Democrats hate Pennsylvania so bad? I just don't get it. And then Carrie Lake in Arizona. She did not win that race. And I'm going to say something that might be unpopular. There were some really good Republican challengers to the Democrats there. But she kind of made a problem for herself. Now, Carrie Lake is very well spoken. She was a TV anchor. She was a recent Democrat. So I think I like to quarantine people when they come into the Republican Party. This is not like church, okay? Like in church, Jesus saves and he forgives. That ain't the GOP, because the GOP doesn't need to be bringing people who were literally just Marxists yesterday into the war room. We don't need to be doing that, okay? Like, you need to prove your bona fides a little bit first, all right? Prove that you are who you say you are, and you've shirked all these Marxist tendencies. I'm not saying she was a Marxist, but she sure as hell was on the left. And she's been on the show. I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about her, except I think that she was just I don't think she was a good candidate. She's a bad candidate. And here's why. You got to be real smart and strategic. Do you want your seat? Then you got to go out and you got to win it. You can't hang out at Mar-a-Lago all the time. You got to be in your district and you got to campaign and you got to talk to the people. I heard from a lot of Arizona listeners and some folks that I have met during Tea Party days who were there on the ground, two of whom were working in her campaign, and I'm not saying their names, who were, well, the description was it was like herding cats. It was difficult. I get it that you can't chase nationally. You gotta, when you're running in your state, you gotta talk to the people in your state. And also, I don't care what you think about John McCain. Heaven knows people disagree with him six ways on to Sunday on a number of issues, healthcare, whatever. I don't care. You gotta be smart when you're running a race. You don't have to go out there and say you love the guy. But you don't go to Sedona and tell everybody to go blank themselves if they like him. And that's literally what she did. Like, I am not exaggerating. That's literally what she did. Kane, can we not even play the video?
I don't have it.
No, but we can't. We tried, remember?
That's true.
You can't do that. And then be like, why did I get those voters? Because he lived in that area. That's like his hometown. You can't do that. Got to be smart about this stuff. But at least we didn't have Rick Scott running in RSC. If I had my choice of who I would love, if you said, Dana, you get to do whatever you want and whatever you want to do with the Senate leadership race, it becomes thus. You know, so it is written, so it is done. Like Ramses. I would force Mike Lee to do it. I would legit send Eric Schmidt, 6 foot six Eric Schmidt, and make him strong arm Mike Lee into it. I would absolutely do that. I would. Yes, Senator Lee, you are being conscripted into leadership service. You must go now to that office. You are Senate leadership. You are a Senate Majority Leader, and you can't say no. That's it. And then if he said no, you send in Eric Schmidt, and then whoever else the tall people are in the Senate, send them in there, and then walk with it. I would physically force him to do it. I'm not even exaggerating at all. I would, if you said, Dana, you could do whatever you want, I would physically force Mike Lee to do it. Well, what if you can't get Mike Lee? I would physically then force Rand Paul. And Senator Paul, very nice guy, but he is no match for 6 foot six Eric Schmidt. And I feel like Eric Schmidt would do it. He's a show me state guy. He just wants a good guy. He wants better choices, but I know he's got to play nice. I feel like, you know, I'm just volunteering him for that too. I would make Eric Schmidt do that. I would have him. And then that's, if you told me, Dana, what would you do? That's what I would do. I would do those things. What if you couldn't? Then I'd force Cruz then. Cruz is a little taller. That might be a little more interesting. So I'd get another real tall person. I mean, we can just keep doing this all day. You know what I mean? That's it. That's what I would do. If you told me, Dana, you get to do whatever you want for Senate Majority Leader. So that's how I would have it. Now, I think one of the reasons that you don't see them doing that is because it was made very clear a while ago, not just recently, a while ago, that this is what leadership wants. And as I said, you're given the illusion of choice. Mitch McConnell bailed out Rick Scott in 2022 when Rick Scott foobarred in RSC and lost us the Senate. Mitch McConnell had to come in. They had to cut a deal so Scott could get bailed out. And you can't tell me that he didn't sell out, because he did. That's what I noticed. Like, he started changing on some of his positions and things like that. He was very, very mirroring McConnell. But none of the three. I wouldn't have any of the three at all. Would not have any of the three. And that's the truth of it. So I think that until I get to do what I want for Senate leadership and force people to serve in these roles, you have the power to be able to do some of that. That means actually using your phone, calling your lawmakers' offices, and turning up the pressure in email and on social media. Don't pay attention to the haters. There's a lot of bot farms out there and a lot of paid activists who are masquerading as conservative independent thinkers, and they're not. They're conservative independent. There's an operation here. It's big business, like with anything. This is, again, why I will not move to D.C. This is why I don't go to the cocktail parties. This is why I don't go and kiss ass at all the conferences, because I hate the game. I want to be left alone, and I enjoy hanging out with you guys in the afternoon. I love what I do, but I don't like that part of it. Never have, and Kane can attest. It frustrates Kane, because Kane will be like, can we do this? Nope, I don't want to have to go and, like, rub shoulders at stupid cocktail crap. I don't want to do that. No. Go to a place where I can't even carry? What? Because you always got to go to D.C. People will tell you. I mean, it actually makes my job more difficult, they would say, but I don't think so. So you got to put the pressure on. It's your pressure to bear. And I've been doing it. You can do it too. Get everybody to do it. Raise some Cain, not you Cain, but you know, like the biblical Cain. And bring this pressure to bear on these people to maybe someone step up. This isn't certain. It's not written in the stars. Just like Mike Johnson wasn't somebody that they predicted was going to be Speaker of the House. So this too is not set. But you got to have somebody who is going to be able to navigate. And I don't think any of these three have, they don't have the wit to be able to navigate and use all the parliamentary procedures necessary in order to shepherd Trump's picks to the Supreme Court, the judicial agenda, none of it. To say nothing about the egregious violations against your natural rights, Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment, due process, amnesty, none of it. You got to have people who are consistent, who know the law, and who know how to navigate this stuff. And I think that Paul, those are my absolute top picks. I think that they would be really, really good in those roles. The only reason they're not running, it's not because they don't want to run. It's because the field was cleared for them by the establishment well before the convention. That's why. And whoever controls the money in this control, and that's exactly how it works. People who don't know how it works will say otherwise. That's how it works. I hate to say it, but that's true. So you didn't give them a mandate for that, right? So it's got to be on offense on this and fight for it because you deserve it. I know so many of my friends were out phone banking this time around and they were going door to door and they were handing out yard signs. And I feel like a lot of people work really hard and I feel like they deserve better. They deserve better. And you got really 2 years before midterms to really make this happen. So let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So this, New York City apparently is stopping autopsies in Queens as more medical examiners are leaving. It's being described as an exodus of medical examiners. And New York City has stopped doing autopsies. They said that the worsening staff shortage has affected courtroom testimonies and how the city actually is handling some of these investigations. That's crazy. Have you guys ever heard of anything like that happening? They have 18 medical examiners currently. That is a little more than half of the number of staff that they had in 2021. And that's according to the union that represents the medical examiners. They said that one of the changes that maybe, kickstarted this are the autopsy protocols that they changed to what they said was to improve efficiency without undermining their standards. But some of the funeral directors said that it can take longer when they go to Brooklyn to pick up. I mean, it's like it gets pretty grim, but there's some changes that they said actually didn't help at all and it made their jobs a lot harder. So that's kind of crazy. It's like affecting the justice system over there now. Canada says that they are bracing for an influx of people who immigrated illegally as Trump is vowing for deportation. They say that plans in place to deal with the rise in border crossings, because he wants to remove 11 million people. I love, by the way, that Democrats are like, you can't deport people who entered illegally, but we are going to go door to door. I mean, that's just not realistic, but we are going to go door to door and take all your guns. Same people. Over 50 cars caught on fire at an Illinois County towing yard. And I was wondering if it was like, EV or something. They said they were 50 cars burned. 50 cars. They said that it was all in the back lot, mainly junk or abandoned vehicles. They said that some were hybrid or electric cars involved. They're still investigating, but they said that, it was a little bit of an issue because of the EV presence and the way that those fires, you can't just, got to handle them a little differently. This bar was forced to change its name. It's a British pub. It's in Oxfordshire. They had to change their name because people said it was offensive. The pub was called The Midget, and it was after a car. It was named after a car, an MG car. So they made them change the name. It was named after a car, but they said it was still offensive, so they made them change their name. We have more to come. We got to talk about, we're going to talk with one of the gun owners folks coming up. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dana Lash here with you. Top of this, actually bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. We're in all your states. We're in all your radios. We're in all your computers. You can find us Channel 347 on DirecTV, as well as Rumble and X and, you know, all the places. Make sure you go find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because I got a lot of good stuff that's coming out there. Some stuff that came out already last night, and some stuff coming out later today as well. I told y'all before, and if you've listened to the program for any length of time, you know, I cover the news and we make fun of absurdity and we get into a whole bunch of stuff. And I try not to stay too much in the weeds because I would rather yeet myself off my rooftop, break my legs off into nubbins than have to like spend an inordinate amount of time in the weeds on inter-party fighting. But the issue with this whole Senate majority race is that whoever gets the leadership position, this cat's got to be directing the Supreme Court confirmations. They're setting the Senate calendar. They're using procedure, parliamentary procedure and more in order to get this, you know, the agenda, that this mandate that was given last week put into effect. And as I've said before, I don't trust any of the three horsemen that have been suggested. I mean, I don't like any of them. I'm not friends with any of them. I don't get no Christmas cards. Nobody likes me. They all pretend to walk the other way when they see me. We ain't friends. One of them in particular, because it's a little personal for me after Parkland, because I remember being on stage and arguing with bad cop Scott Israel as you had the governor getting ready to sign away gun rights. And right after, one senator crumbled on stage and compromised on red flag and universal background checks, a.k.a. a national registry. And just like I said, you're either for the Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment, or you're not. You can't be a little pregnant. You can't be a little in support of natural rights. You either are or you're not. Let's just be honest about it and stop BSing with the language. I can't stand the idiocracy of discourse in American politics. So to that effect, I have a little bit more of a personal problem with Scott as a result of that. And he apparently can't also spend money when he was running it. When he was running the NRSC back in 2022, you walk in there with almost $182 million and you blow it all like Hunter Biden with hookers and blow on consultancy and self-promotion and everything else. And you walk away with $23 million cash on hand. What in the world? You expect a guy like that to shepherd Supreme Court nominees through? I don't. But what gets me is that we're told to suck it up. And I don't like that. And I feel like gun owners particularly, so many, and we're going to talk to one of my friends about this in just a second, so many hunters were not registered to vote this last election. And I feel like those who went unregistered and they showed up and they gave the authority with the consent of their vote deserve more. And they should be able to ask for more. They should be able to demand better. So why can't they? Joining me right now, my friend Luis Valdez, who's the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. And you can find him on X at Real FL Gun Lobby. And they've been, I mean, y'all have been, and Luis, so good to see you again, my friend. And we got to have you back more often. You guys have been, you know, pretty vocal about this as well. And I get it that, you know, for some of these lawmakers out there, they have to maintain goodwill because they got to work with these people. So they can't go and be as maybe critical as like you or I or some of these other folks that can. But I kind of wanted to get your insight. Why can't we have, from your perspective, a Mike Lee or a Rand Paul? Why is it always like the same people that are promoted that have never done anything for us?
You know, as someone who personally also fought the issue here in Parkland, yes, and with Governor Scott, is remember, I was the only cop in Florida to publicly speak during the state Senate committee hearings when the bill was going through.
Yes,
so I know exactly the fight.
Can I just pause you right there? Luis Valdez, he knows this better than most people. So he was right there in the thick of it. I got to underscore that.
Yeah, I know the anger. I know the frustration you're going through because I've been in the fight just as you have. And the issue that we have is we have a political establishment in D.C. that they want to hold and maintain power. And remember, you have a lot of people in office, both on the state and the national level, that they want to be the opposition party. They want to be the minority party, because if they could promise the moon and produce nothing, then all they get to do is keep raising money. As you said, you know, one of them was in charge of the Republican National Committee in the Senate for raising funds, for raising campaign donations for other Senate races. And that, you know, if you control those purse strings, you control who gets on what committee assignment, on what bills get heard, and so on and so forth. But the issue comes down to this. All three are bad choices. We, the people, have voted And we've set a clear mandate to Washington, D.C., that we don't want political party hacks. We don't want middle-of-the-road gun grabbers. We want Second Amendment patriots. And this position, the Senate Majority Leader's position, is extremely important because you said it best, and I've said it best, and GOA has said it best. The Senate and the White House controls judicial appointments, and that is where we're winning the fight right now for the Second Amendment. Every victory within the last couple of years hasn't, for the most part, has not been legislative. It has been judicial on the federal level. And this is of vital importance, and all three are bad picks. Now, sadly, it looks like one of the three are going to be chosen. And what we could do is we could put pressure and make sure that they will not get our support unless they turn the page, they turn the cheek, and they tell us and they show us through action, because actions speak louder than words, that they are better than what they were before.
Yeah. It's so frustrating because, you know, everybody waited for so long. It's like the longest election cycle ever. And everyone's like, we did it. We did it. And then immediately the next week, you get the illusion of choice from the establishment. We're talking to our friend Luis Valdez with Gun Owners of America. He's the Florida State Director there. And I remember you were like the only guy in law enforcement who was speaking out at that time. I distinctly remember that. And I get that. And what you said was so incredibly important, the judicial fight and at the federal level, because it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been a legislative thing that we've seen push. Now, Trump came out and said that he wants to sign national reciprocity. I've never heard a Republican president say that. I've never heard a president-elect or previous president ever say that, Luis. But when I look at who they're promoting, you know, to be running Senate, I just don't trust any of those cats to shepherd that through. I would imagine something like that would make it through the House. But you know that there's more, the Senate has more of a rhino makeup than even the House does. And I am very concerned that it would be killed in the crib in there.
You know, we saw this back during his first term. National reciprocity passed the House. It went to the Senate. Mitch McConnell refused to bring it up for a vote. And of course, the whole thing was, we need 60 votes. It's cloture. The rules. Look, nothing says you can't attach it as a must pass legislation as an amendment. The Democrats do it all the time. Why can't Republicans? And we need strong leadership in the Senate to do that, because if not, it's not going to reach Trump's desk.
Right. No, I completely agree. I completely agree. And when we may not, depending on what happens with the economy, Luis, and I think we just lost visual on Luis, depending on what happens with the economy, we may not see it happen again in our lifetime. That I'm going to see if we can get him back on. I don't know if he just would just drop connection or what, but we're going to get that remedy. We've been talking to Luis Valdez with Gun Owners of America. We still have him. There we go. Got the visual back. I just feel like it's that close. Like, if it doesn't happen this time, depending on what happens with midterms, I just feel like we're running out of chances to get something like that passed. Am I being too much of a fatalist with that? Or is that kind of like maybe what you're reading too?
No, I think you're hitting the nail straight on the head. We have a 2-year window, really, in reality, a 1.5-year window to get things done legislatively in Congress, especially if we get control of the House, because you're going to have the midterm elections. And on top of that, it's just the way things are. Traditionally speaking, when you have the midterm elections, whatever president is in office, that party loses some seats come the midterm election. So we have about a year and a half window to get things done. And now is the time to strike while the iron is hot. Republicans have constantly campaigned that they're pro-gun. They constantly promise us that they're pro-gun. Well, actions speak louder than words. They need to put their money where their mouth is.
Amen to that. Luis Valdez is with Gun Owners of America. Luis, who would you, if you got to pick, like if they said, Luis, you and Gun Owners of America, you get to put who you want as Senate Majority Leader. How do you want to handle this? What would you do?
Man, that's a very good question. There's a couple of good people in the Senate. You have Thomas Massie, for example. You have Rand Paul. You have Mike Lee. I mean, there's such a good cadre of Second Amendment patriots there. And the reason why they're not on the front runner as front runners right now, you know, it makes me scratch my head. It makes me go, why is this? And of course, it always comes down to, as you've said it and as I've said it, it comes down to money. Yeah. Because they're actually putting their money where their mouth is. They're not spending time doing campaign donations and doing backroom deals and smoke film rooms, they're actually fighting for their constituents' rights. They're fighting to overturn the gargantuan advance that is called this oppressive government.
Yeah.
Instead of being elitist.
Let me ask you this,
too.
What do you make of this argument that I hear from some of the more moderate Republicans and or moderate whatever on the right? And they say, well, you know, you need to have somebody who's a little bit more middle of the road for consensus. But Luis, haven't we always had somebody who's middle of the road to try to, like, engender some sort of consensus? How's that been working out for us thus far?
Let's see. We had machine guns banned in 86. We had foreign firearms import banned in 89. You had machine guns parts kits banned in the early 2000s. You've had the bipartisan background check bill pushed through. Last I checked, being middle of the road doesn't get us anywhere. All it does is it's another slice of the cake taken away from us. Enough of this. I want the whole cake back. Being middle of the road, being centrist, does nothing except we just get smaller slices of our rights taken away from us, but we still have rights taken away from us. Enough. Enough is enough.
That's it. See, Luis just said it. We want the cake back. We want it all. We want it all back right now. Well, we're going to be watching this. They got a secret ballot Wednesday. So we're going to see. Basically, we're just all debating on how we're going to get screwed over. That's kind of what this is coming up on Wednesday. We're going to see and may have to have you back right after that. But I know we're going to be talking with you again, too, Luis, as all this gets underway. As always, appreciate what you do. Appreciate Gun Owners of America as well. Take care, my friend. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, and keep on being that shining beacon of liberty on the air.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour. You heard we need to bring that. We need the cake. We want the cake back.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is actually like The Forest is like actually one of my favorite Cure tracks. It really is. And the new Cure album is amazing. But dude, it's happy, sad, brilliantly happy, sad. Do not listen to it, though, if you are the sads. Do not. So I would advise Democrats to not listen to it after last week. I would not. But it is absolutely one of my favorite Cure tracks ever. I love the intro. I love everything about it. Oh, my gosh. It's so great. Wish he wasn't a progressive. I guess you can't have everything, but at least he's not going for a Senate majority leader. A couple pieces will be coming out on Substack you're going to want to pay attention to. And, of course, there's some really other, I want to say, I don't want to make it all about, you know, doom with just this one thing. There's some really good picks, though, happening elsewhere. Tom Homan's going back. Oh, yeah. Tom Homan. I like Tom Homan. That was announced this morning. Was it this morning or last night? He's going to be the actual border czar. He's a former ICE director, and he's going to be the new border czar. So it's actually going to get done. Imagine that. So that's really good, because he's someone I actually would pick. It was almost like I picked him. I'm going to try to like do my mind. Don't have Rick Scott or John Cornyn or John Thune. Do mind vibes. So this is really good. He's the border czar. The only, I will say, Elise Stefanik, it's not that I'm against her being an ambassador to the UN. She's in the House. Why would you take a member of the House out? What, we need those seats. That's my big question. So I want to know, like, what's going to be the sub here? She's third ranking member of House leadership. We need that. I mean, it's not like we got a supermajority. So I got some questions about, otherwise, I mean, it's not that I disagree with her in that role. I just don't understand the logic of taking a number that we have away from the House when we need it. Because, it's not a major, it was still kind of a narrow margin of victory. And I just want to be, you know, I mean, it's 208 to 217. I don't think that we have enough to be taking our members out of the House for this. So that's my concern with that. But otherwise, you know, I don't have an issue with her in that role. Tom Homan is actually a great, great candidate. There's some other candidates that they've put out there so far. Susie Wiles is going to be his chief of staff. And I think they have Stephen Miller is going to be deputy chief of staff for policy. And they're, I think, well, obviously they're going to have more announcements coming, but this is kind of the cram time. I actually have never been more sympathetic towards any entity except a transition team during right now. Because think about it. You're going into the holidays. You're going into Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you've got to get all this lined up before January. Imagine, and everything is different. Everything has changed. You got to have different people. It's like a, you know, a big, it's a big issue. So I have pity for folks during this particular time. They're pushing Richard Grenell for Secretary of State. Of all the names that have been proposed, he's the strongest for that, I think. And of course, we're going to be talking a lot more about this as more of these names are suggested. In the meantime, Today in Stupidity came.
All right. Speaking of Tom Homan, boy, the shrews on The View were not happy. This is Anna Navarro on that exact thing. Listen to this.
To say it, for people to realize he was being serious. Well, if you thought he wasn't being serious, the appointment of Tom Homan today as border czar, and he will be in charge of a mass deportation program, the largest the country has ever seen, they say. And now Stephen Miller as deputy chief of staff should let you know that he was absolutely serious. And when you talk about mass deportations, people think, oh, it's just going to be the
just
the
more criminal. Complaining.
Yeah.
Just more complaining.
Cope and Seath. I'm here for it. Folks, that does it for us today. Sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us YouTube, Facebook. I'll be back tomorrow.